tuning in. This is Rock to Recovery Radio. I am your host, Wes Geer. This is KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM station, human-crafted radio, and the show is also brought to you by New Vista Behavioral Health. They have a bunch of great recovery programs. If you're looking for help out there, they do addiction, mental health, a lot more. There's a lot of shadiness out there in the industry right now. These people do great work. So, why are we here? We're here because so many people are dying. Everybody's been touched by the disease of addiction or mental health. Something. It just seems like every day we have a headline that we've lost another, you know, great star. Or the people we don't hear about. The brothers, the sisters, the mothers, the fathers. I hear about it all the time. So I'm a sober guy and I'm really passionate about recovery and I'm really passionate about trying to help people not die if they don't have to and also not suffer, because sometimes, as weird as it sounds, it's almost tougher to not die if you've been in those dark places like many of us have. So we do the show to talk about struggles, to talk about addiction, talk about mental health. We've talked to wounded warriors, rock stars, celebrities, actors, you know, moms. We've talked to rad humans, exceptional earthlings, all types of people. And the goal is to shine light on the problem, but also what the solution is. Because there is a solution. And what we find is that we don't just limp into this new sober life or this new life of recovery and it just sucks, which is what I thought it would. We find out we can have this incredible life, which seems unfathomable. I can't believe I said that and pulled it off. Seems unfathomable for somebody who's struggling in those dark places. So there is a way out, and I like to call it the vortex of radness, because that's what we get into when we get on a good path of recovery. Miracles happen. So today I'm excited about this guest, and I didn't know that he or she, you don't know who it is right now, because it could be a she. You don't know who I'm going to announce.
Hello.
Yeah.
Wes.
Hi. This person drove all the way down from Ventura County. How rad is that? I really appreciate you for it. Appreciate you taking the time and effort. So I'm just anyhow. So our guest, our mystery guest, was in a band, and there's probably a lot more to you than just this, but this is what I know about you, and together the listeners and I can discover. But you're in a band called Shiny Toy Guns, who was Grammy nominated.
Yes, sir.
Was it 2007?
2007, yeah, our first
That's
record.
That's so rad.
We Are Pilots, yeah. Pretty cool.
That is so, yeah. So this is, for everybody who still doesn't know, this is Mikey Martin.
Yes, hello. How you guys doing?
Hello, hi.
Hey, great. Hi, how you doing?
Good, hey,
good,
yeah.
Good. All right.
So the one piece of data I'm missing, what a bad radio host. You can shame me now if you want.
I've heard good things, so I don't know. You haven't, you know. that intro, I was ready to take my headphones off and walk out after that freaking intro. I was like, what am I going to say?
Oh, yeah, we forgot that.
Yeah, we'll edit that in.
Yeah, we'll cut that in. Ernesto, please, crowd noise.
I mean, this is live radio, so what are we talking about?
It is live. Anyways. Mikey.
Wes.
So it's Mikey Martin. What did you play in Shiny Toy Guns?
I play drums.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I've been playing drums. I mean, let's just get into it. Why not?
Do I get into it? So, yeah, here's what I often say.
That's up
say.
To you.
Yeah, no.
I'm ready.
I think we're in it.
I stay ready so I don't have to get ready.
Ooh, can I steal that?
Most
of the stuff I say, I just steal from other people anyhow.
Yeah, you know what? The past year, I've really been trying to come up with my own sayings. it's worked out well, so sure, take it.
All right, thank you. Well, thanks for letting me
borrow that. I'll give you my business card here in a minute, but go ahead.
So, you know, your story has to do with addiction.
Yeah.
You're a sober dude.
Yes.
How long do you have sober?
In October, God willing, all of 15 years.
Wow, that's a long time without a drink or a drug. In a row.
In a row, yeah. Nights and weekends.
We need more applause here.
Yeah. Other countries. I mean, you name it. I've stayed sober. And for me, that was the only way I could have a life.
Yeah.
You know, and addiction runs in my family.
Any other sober people?
In my family?
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister, she sobered up shortly after. Yeah, I ended up down south in Scripps McDonald Center, and I detoxed off pills and alcohol, and it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And shortly after that, my sister, you know, saw that I could do, and she saw how much of a mess I was. And we always got in trouble together, played music together, got kicked out of school together, listened to new records together, did everything. Huh. We were really close.
My brain's going, that sounds cool.
No, me too. I'm literally thinking about her bedroom and like moving her bed around and her dresser and bringing my drums in and just like candles and bad stuff we don't like to talk about. But yeah, like it just, you know, drugs and
you bad know, things.
Music, yeah, you know. But it was a good time. I look at that as coming from a family who is I come from a line of addicts and alcoholics. And it's crazy because, like, from the time I was a kid,
that's what I was going to ask you.
I always, you know, and you stay sober long enough and you take a look at your life long enough and you look at patterns in your life and you look at why you act a certain way, why you treat certain people a certain
way. With a new lens.
Yeah, but
it looks different.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even, I mean, I've worked many a 4 steps. I mean, you know, and just to let everyone know that's listening, if you are wanting to be sober and have a life worth staying sober for, then work the steps, get a sponsor. And that's what I had to do. But from my earliest age, I can remember, you know, and we hear this a lot in the rooms and with addicts and alcoholics. And I felt a little different. I felt a little odd. And I like to be by myself, actually.
Isolate,
but it's like you hear a lot of people say, oh, it started with video games and it started with this and like da, 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 comic books and da, da. And I was like instantly all about candy. Like, and what kid isn't? You know, my kid's not. She's not allowed to have candy unless she poops in the toilet. Now she's 3 years old, but it's like I look at my daughter and I'm like, is my daughter coming from a line of alcoholics and addicts? And I look at my life, and I like to say that I was born into a close, loving, dysfunctional, not a good family, not a good.
But you guys were close, and there's a lot of love, a lot of dysfunction.
A lot of love, but a lot of dysfunction. So like from the time I was a kid, like it's the whole candy thing. It's like my alcoholic thinking. I'm not saying I was running it like when I was in elementary school, but I would go to my grandmother's house and she'd give me candy, and I remember like eating so much candy, and it affected me.
Sugar that we it, yeah
I mean and that was my first love. Something grabbed me and made me feel different. It had an effect, a physical effect, and a mind.
You were cognizant of that at a young age.
And yeah, and it just looking at behaviors and looking at why do kids or why do young adults and why do they feel a certain way and choose to take a substance and put it in their body to change who they are, essentially. And
right.
I mean, so, and even growing up, like my, you know, hi mom, hi dad. I mean, I'm not going to tell my mom this, but, but they met in a rehab.
There you go. There's a love story.
Yeah, and it was more of like a road camp type thing. It was like drug addicts, and then my dad started working for the place and became an alcoholic. And this was all before we were born. So, I mean, all my uncles, drug dealers, prison, all this stuff. And like growing up, these were the people I were around.
Did you say drug dealers?
Drug dealers.
Prison. This is your extended family.
Yeah, these are my uncles and like that I looked up to that I thought were
they're role models at that point.
They were role models. I'm not gonna say like when I started playing sports when I was a kid and it didn't really work out.
How old?
I was in fourth grade.
So you're noticing you kind of having a problem fitting in with life. You don't feel so good. You're angry.
Yeah, in a sense, I was feeling. I was searching. You know what I'm saying? And I had this friend who had a drum set.
Yeah.
And this poor guy thought I was his friend. You know, we carpooled. No, and he was a good dude, whatever.
But you liked him for the drum kit.
But I liked him for his older brother, because I remember being at that house and him saying, yeah, let's go do this. Let's go skate. Let's go do this. They had a half pipe, and they had all this cool shit around them. But I was drawn to these drums, and I would go hide in his room, lock his door, and play his drums. And from that, like I literally remember being a kid and saying, "This is what I'm gonna do." I literally remember listening to Iron Maiden listening. I mean, I'm talking like rock and roll, like listening to and seeing back when I was a kid, seeing real music on MTV. And I remember that. And it was instantly like, I'll never forget that.
So that's where you got the bug to be a musician.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as that's going on, you know, you're playing drums, you're doing the golf thing, you're a little bit angry. When do you get into the substances or sometimes the four substances, we have behavioral stuff that causes us problems.
I think it was a lot of behavioral things.
Yeah.
At first, you know what I mean? You know, and God bless my parents and my family, and you know, like I truly believe in a God and a higher power that is in control. Sorry if that offends anybody, but I don't necessarily follow any sort of religion.
Sure.
Because I was long story short, my parents became pastors.
They are now.
No, they're done. They're done. But
done pastoring?
When I was a kid, like I had two parents who were untreated alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
And
who met in rehab.
Yeah, go figure, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and honestly, like, they did their best. Like, my father was arrested over 150 times before he was 18 years old. So, you know, with having this bug about music, like, you know, so I'm like... Like, I told my parents one day, like, you know, cool, like, just running around skating, doing this, doing that. Hey, I want a drum set. And they're like, oh, well, we have a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want a drum set. I don't want to play piano. So they said, I still thank my parents to this day for this. They said, if you take piano lessons and voice lessons and you sing a song in our church, we will get you a drum set.
Obviously during their pastor years.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's great for you.
And
even though it sounds like horrible.
It
would to me at that age.
No, it did, but it was like I honestly remember that day at Mike D's house, and them saying, "If you do this, you can get a drum set."
So it was inspiring.
Inspiring, and my parents helped me and they supported me. Like, so
I mean, singing at church versus playing Iron Maiden songs, a little different. Well, maybe not these days so much, but back then.
Well, I mean, even honestly, even back then, because that's basically where I started. I started playing in church. I ended up doing this whole thing, like learning a song and singing, and I got so pissed off because I'm double jointed.
Oh. Yeah,
so like
those are interesting.
Thank you.
If you could see them at home, the shape you are making.
Hey, those aren't. I mean, yeah. Let me write that down on my four step. I mean, I drink over that a lot. But hey, I can't. You know, God made me. You know, unique and with spider hands or whatever you want to call them. But I got so frustrated. But I pursued music. I did it, and they got me a drum set, and I was off and running. And yes, being involved in, you know, being a PK, a pastor's kid, like I was always around church. Always, no matter what. Like, they traveled, we traveled, they did this. And I started playing in churches, and these churches started to pay me.
Wow, how old were you?
I was 9, 10 years old.
Well, and you're playing Piani?
Like, I literally had these old rockers who played gospel music kind of take me under their wings.
So good for you as a musician.
No, and it really was. And
most 9-year-olds don't have that.
Right. You know? So, I look at it like from 9 to 19 years old, it was kind of like I don't want to say a downward spiral, but I found something.
What was the downward spiral?
I don't want to say it was a downward spiral. I was looking for something.
So you found the church. You're connected. That sounds like a good thing.
Well, I don't know how connected I was to the church, but it was the drums.
Yeah.
It was being on a stage, playing, and seeing some sort of reaction, whether I was like in the reaction or not in the reaction, mm-hmm. but seeing that happen, and then just I don't want to say a downward spiral, but it was like I found it, and then that was it. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I kept searching. I kept searching. I was like...
So you're saying you kind of had like a little high from that. And so you're searching for more
very,
of it.
Very much. I mean, it's like...
So when did you start using?
I didn't start using until like 11 and a half, 12 years old.
That's pretty young.
Is it?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I
think I'm 14 if I go on the low end. I used to say 15, but I think it's 14. But 11. I mean, think about it. 14 in high school, 11. What grade are you even in? Are you like sixth grade?
I think sixth grade into seventh, and then like, you know, being.
So like for us, and this is something when we're talking about the new lens thing. When I was like, oh yeah, you know, 15, I smoked bong hits and put cocaine on them and went to drafting class. When I'm that age, I'm like, what? I'm just experienced. When you look back and see a 15-year-old walking down the street, can you imagine an 11-year-old? No. You're like, you're a baby.
Yeah, definitely a baby. And that's what it's, I mean, I have, one of my best friends has a kid who's, I think he just turned 12.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at that like, wait, okay, so. But
so what was the first thing you did?
I had a sip of alcohol.
Okay.
What? Not even a sip. I had some whiskey. And it was at like I was in a private school, and it was, you know, something.
Somebody snuck it in?
Yeah, someone snuck it in, and we were at this camp, and it was so dope, and we were chilling, and everyone, you know, hanging out. You're in sixth grade, and it's like, you know, going through all these changes and all this weird stuff, and someone brings this water bottle with brown water. I'm like, oh, dude, I'll try that. Like, let me try some of that. I don't want to say I was off and running, but what happened was.
Did it hit you?
It hit me. No, it definitely hit me.
So just a little sip, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it gave me something. I'm still continuing to look. I have drums, and I'm playing, and I'm learning, and I'm teaching. No, sorry, not teaching. I'm taking lessons, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. Then I just played all throughout high school, junior high. I got kicked out of junior high in eighth grade.
Why'd you get kicked out? Junior high. I got kicked out of high school.
Yeah. Well, they put me in a private school.
Were you acting up?
It was acting up and just said some really inappropriate stuff. And
so you're being kind of a punk?
Yeah, being a punk. And like that's what, and like at that time, like that's what we were playing. We were like, I was on the punk rock, and we were playing. Right. I had a band, and it was this, and it was that.
And if you could see our guest right here, he has a pink. I don't know if that's a mohawk.
I don't know
it's
what it is.
It's one heck of a pompadour.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's pink.
Yeah, I don't know
and
what it is.
You got some piercings in the lip and in the nose.
Yeah. I need to grow up. I need to grow up.
No, don't do that.
No, I'm not going to. I went to get my hair done the other day, and my daughter's like, my daughter's three. She's the best thing ever. And she was like, Daddy, do your hair blue or pink?
I'm like,
you're 3 years old. Like, you talk like an adult. But, yes, anyways. But like,
so you got kicked out of school. Out of junior high.
Junior high, yeah.
Now, you said drinking.
That was for smoking weed.
Okay, so I got kicked out of high school for smoking weed. So you drank up high. Yeah. So you drank, you liked the effect produced by alcohol.
Right.
How much were you drinking and using?
It was, honestly, it was just here and there. You know
but
what
you
I'm
did
saying?
It at school or something?
Yeah, I had marijuana and I was
reefer.
The reefer, the marijuana cigarettes. You know, it's like, you know, the bong, like someone brought a bong and like, it's just stupid. Like,
what'd your parents do when you got kicked out?
Well, I was real. Okay, so I was.
Did they care? Were they mad,
no,
or were they just kind of like whatever?
No, they cared. They were. You know, it's the whole I'm not upset. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was so stoned. Like, a group of people. It was my older sister. Now my older sister. Sorry, I'm not gonna say her name. Did you say my last name? Anyways,
I did.
But she was doing meth.
Well, at how old?
She was 2 years older than I was. So she was in 10th grade. So it's like, you know, you're
13.
Yeah, so you're in a school. We're in a private school, and we're lined up, right? And it's like somebody's praying, and I look up, and like I see my sister, and she's like this free spirit hippie, like just like, but she's like just tweaking and running, and like her and her friend are running through the lines, just like screaming and laughing, and this guy just continues to pray, and Lord, I pray for these students, and she and it was just like so her
they're
best
kind of oblivious
just. Out of it, yeah. Like I don't know.
What'd you do after you got kicked out?
After I got kicked out of school,
private school.
It's private school. It was me and a couple of my close friends that I've known since I was a kid. And this story almost doesn't sound real.
I like those kind.
So we found this woman. I don't know who found her, and this lady was so crazy. She took myself, my friend Matt, Mike, Billy and my sister. I think there was five of us. I can't remember how many. But she was just like, "Oh yeah, I have a heart for young people who are. I want to help."
That sounds scary, right?
No, it was so scary. It was so scary. We met in a cafeteria at a church, and we literally just chilled. Like we hung out in this class. It should have been
with this lady.
With this lady,
at her house.
No, it was at a church cafeteria. So. We'd get there, we'd check in, we'd do like some sort of
what, like every day.
Every day, Monday through Friday. in the morning. So we'd hang out, we'd chill, we'd do this, we'd do that. Then we'd walk down the street to get to the liquor store and get snacks and get like drinks, and we'd go play basketball. It was like
that sounds good.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing, but it was just like, how did I get any sort of credit for school in that? I don't know. So it was like
that was your school.
I basically skipped eighth grade. So I went into public school, and I wasn't even like deep. I wasn't even deep into my addiction in high school. It was because I still going through this process of like searching. It's constantly.
That's a common thing we have.
Right.
Something's missing.
Right. So it's like I just remember like. It trips me out, like, and just how music takes you back. Like, I still listen to so many types of music and so many things that take me back to, like, certain times in my life.
Sure.
And I look at it like I was cool with everybody in high school. Like, I didn't have, like, a clique. I didn't fit into a clique. Like, I wasn't, like... I'm a punk rocker. I'm right. a skater. Because, I mean, you know, high school, it's like skaters, punks.
Right.
It's like the jocks. It's like the nerds. It's all these things. And, like, it's like the handicap kids. One of my best friends, his sister was, like, in the handicap class at our high school. And we looked
handicapable.
So, we looked after her. We chilled mm-hmm. with that. Like my group of friends chilled with them. And then,
that's
like,
cool.
Then I would walk over to this section and do that. And then I started searching. I started getting involved with these guys who... You know, just drank and smoked weed all the time. That's all they did. And it was high school parties, and it was this, and it was that. And I was just like, I was sort of turned off by that for some reason, because I still felt a little like I don't fit in.
You felt like you didn't fit in.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to a party like and have it have to be like a specific type of party.
So when did it change, and when did you start digging? Because, you said when you first took your first drink, you're like, yeah, you kind of.
Yeah, yeah, it. Yeah.
When did you start going, hey, this is for me, and it starts controlling your life?
I want to say probably about, 11th grade.
11th grade? What's going on then?
It's same type of stuff, man. Like looking back, it's like the changes. It's like things are changing. Like people are growing up. People are like talking about college, and people are doing that. And I'm still holding firm, so like I'm gonna be. Sorry, I hate to say this, but I said I'm gonna be a rock star.
Sure, I get that.
So I would be in a classroom asleep, high, little buzz, whatever, and my teachers would be like, "Yo, like wake up, what's going on?" I'm like, "I'm good." Like
yeah, I don't need school.
Like I will pass your classes, but just please let me sleep and enjoy my buzz. You know what I'm saying? And it was just
so
like,
were you drinking and going to school?
Yeah.
Well, see, yeah, and to me, I used to smoke a lot of weed and go to school and be like, what? But when I saw people, and, we always judge.
Of
whatever
course.
We do is okay. What other people do is weird.
Yes.
Like, like a junkie will be like, oh, stupid tweakers. It's like, you shoot dope. I mean,
right.
Is that better
right,
or worse?
Right, right, right.
But I thought that way about kids. I would see them drinking, going to high school and go, wow.
Well, it's like, first of all, like, I remember even just riding to school with my friend, like, my sister, her friends, and like one of my buddies used to drive us, and like it was always like the goth kids, and they were freaking dope. Like they were like the punk rockers and the goth kids all hung out together, and we'd pull into the parking lot. My friend Joe every morning would say, like, if you're gonna smoke, like, why are you gonna smoke in the morning? Like you know what I'm
that
saying?
That was me in the parking lot in the morning.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and it's like I was like, yeah, let me get out here. You know what I'm saying? But it's like. It's like that was like looking and searching and trying to fit in and then finding because music was always in my life. It was always in my life and I always played and I met some amazing people along the way and I was playing and I was, local stuff here, local stuff there. And then still like working with like I made so many connections with some of these, these artists who just were playing, like who would fill in and do this. And it's like, hey, come play. Come check this out. Like, okay, can you come to rehearse? Can you do
but
this?
But you were hustling in the music.
Yeah, at a fairly young
but
age.
But 11th grade, it's starting to get a little crazy.
That's
taking a bigger part of your life.
Yeah, that's when it really started to take off. And then my senior year, like I almost didn't graduate high school and I was just so lost and I was so... it was just so deep.
Very similar to my story.
Very, very deep. You know what I'm saying? And it was like
deep in what? In getting loaded.
I mean, getting loaded.
Drinking, going to school, smoking.
Yeah,
weed.
It's like water bottles with vodka and just like Vans, and then.
So you're going to school with booze? Like
no. In- yes. What? Mean? Yeah. Kind. What? Once? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's throw in your song here. It's a good spot to do a break.
Nice.
Okay. Now.
Wait, what? My song? You want me to sing?
Yeah, wait, no, well, I don't know. Did you sing? What's your first song you picked?
I don't know. I honestly don't remember.
No? Okay.
I think
we're definitely going to edit this part.
It's Where's My Mind by the Pixies.
And that's, there we go.
And that song is means a lot to me.
All right, so you picked Where's My Mind by the Pixies.
Yes, because, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to ask, why?
No, that is a song that reminds me of everything.
Sounds like your high school.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. But it also, just that song. Like, I remember, like, I went to Dallas and, like, had this opportunity to work with some people and, you know, get paid to record and to do this. And I was like, oh, this could be my shot. And this was right in, like, the darkest time of my life. And I blew it all away. They paid me a per diem. They paid me money up front.
So how old were you then?
I was 19, 20.
Right.
You know, like right out of high school, basically.
Well, we have a lot of stuff in common. Well, we're going to get into that
Let's
in
get
a
into
second.
It.
Yeah, so this is the Pixies' Where Is My Mind. I'm Wes Geer. This is Rock to Recovery Radio on KX93.5 FM. And we'll be right back. Oh, wait. You know what? We're here with Mikey Martin of Shiny Toy Guns. Just so you know, we're going to be back with him in a minute.
All right.
Try this trick and-
Pixies.
Ugh.
You gotta love that song.
I love it.
So here we are back. Rock to Recovery Radio. I am your host, Wes Geer. This is KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM. This show is also brought to you by New Vista Behavioral Health. They have a variety of great treatment programs, addiction, mental health, etc. If you're looking for help and know somebody who needs it, check out New Vista Behavioral Health. So we're sitting here with Mikey Martin, probably best known for his drumming in Shiny Toy Guns, who actually was nominated for a Grammy in 2007.
Ugh.
So we're in your story, you're talking about how you came from a family that had even your parents or your dad had abuse and violence, and he went to jail 150 times, and your mom and dad met in a rehab, and that there was love in your family, but a lot of dysfunction.
Right.
You also said how you were searching a lot, constantly searching. Played a lot in church, mm-hmm. and once you played the drums, you're like, I got to be a musician. That I can totally relate to, only it was like guitar.
Right.
You started drinking. You drank a little bit. What little was it, 11 or 12?
Yeah, a little bit.
By a junior, mm-hmm. you're getting into it. Some problems. You're going to school buzzed or drunk.
Yeah, trying to stay consistently buzzed.
There you go.
And napping a little bit, you know.
And just like, I'm going to be a rock star. I totally get that. Screw school. I was there. You said 12th grade, it got even worse, mm-hmm. and then so you get out of high school, and then where does the progression go?
Well, it's just like the song says, where's my mind, mm. right? So I move away, and what do we call that? And
geographic.
Right, so that's exactly what I did, and I didn't realize.
How old were you?
I was 19, 20
so
years
19,
old.
You peaced out on the parents?
I said, peace out, I did. I had a good opportunity.
Were you in a fight with them? Were you like,
wasn't even that. It was just like I tried staying around and went to college and failed music classes and, you know.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, did decent in math, but I was like, I don't need math. I can count to four, whatever, like rock and roll.
Anything over four is not important.
Yeah, it's like, who counts higher than four? So it wasn't anything like, it was just another opportunity, and I'm searching and looking back. Like I said earlier, it's like looking back at patterns, looking back at the way I handled certain situations. Now, I had a great opportunity. I moved away. Yes, it was a geographic. There was stuff going on in my life that I wasn't happy with and wanted to get away from, but I had music. That was why I went. And going there, my alcoholism and my drug addiction and my crazy mind just literally took over. Full control.
So what's the change that takes place there? You're already kind of, you know, we talk a lot about powerlessness, you mm-hmm. know, where we're getting loaded even though we maybe really don't want to. A lot of times we say, no, I want to, and really
right.
we're out of control.
Right.
So you're already a little bit powerlessness if you're getting loaded and going to school, one might argue. But what's the next level? You're doing it all day and all night?
It just turned into like these people put me up in an apartment and just almost burning the place down. Because it literally was then it was.
This was going out to do this music gig.
Right.
And where'd you move to?
Dallas.
You moved from Ventura?
Yeah, Simi Valley.
Simi Valley.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and you went to Dallas. And you said that you got a good gig getting a per diem and these people are putting you up.
Yeah.
For a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
You get some pizza and a place to sleep and get to do what you love.
Yeah.
You're like
stoked. And I literally went out there and I knew some people out there and you know, it was being young. I was young, I was away from home, I was gonna do some music, I met some people and
But the big butt is
alcohol that consumed my life.
Did you start drinking in the morning?
I was drunk. I literally drank for a year and was in a blackout.
Wow. And that's young. And you know, of course not judgment. That's how I was with weed. 24/7, but thinking of a 19-year-old drinking in a blackout, like you said, for a year, that's considerable.
No, and that's what it was. It was like, I had this opportunity. I failed, I felt like, because I couldn't get, people are just like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, no, it's cool. My name's Mikey Martin. Like, you know, like I got this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, do you understand? You're counting off the wrong song. Like what?
Oh,
like,
you're screwing up.
I was,
playing.
So music wasn't it, music.
So you're drinking. Yeah, all right. You're drinking and going to do this big gig.
Right, and I couldn't. And once I realized I couldn't, it was – because it's crazy. drums.
You couldn't what? Not drink?
I couldn't not drink.
Yeah.
And I was so, I created this false reality of like, oh, I'm doing, yeah, it's blah, blah, blah. Well, that's literally probably what I said. You know, and everyone's like, what
and
are you talking
They were like, no, you're definitely not.
You're like, no, dude, you're not good. So it was like, so I left this apartment that they put me in, and I just couch surfed and hung out with one of my best friends.
Did you get fired?
Yeah, I mean I just am
quit
I
quit fired I, like you're fired. No, I quit. Was one of those.
No, it was more of like I was so out of it, and yes, I was so young, and I look at that and I was like, this was an opportunity. I just felt like it was the next step for me to do something, to actually make, because I mean, making money is making money, whatever, right?
It's a step in the right direction. So you know what I like to do too in the show is, you know, people at home might be going, well, because we love to think we're different. They might go, well, I'm not a musician. This show's not about me. But what we hear here,
and I'm going to get into that. Trust me with the solution.
But what we hear here is a guy searching for answers, not fitting in, dysfunctional home. And what we also hear here for people at home is the progression of what we call the disease, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You like the effect. You're constantly searching for something out of yourself to make you feel right. Music's going to be the answer. And what I love here is very similar to me. The night the record labels come to see me after years of trying, our band,
right.
I got arrested because I was so tweaked out.
Right.
So it's we talk about recovery. It's not an issue of willpower. If it were, you would have said, you know what? Let me be sober for the gig, crush it. Because remember what we said earlier in your story was like, music's the most important thing to you. So what about the people at home like that let their addiction go before their children, or let it go before their careers, musician or not?
Right.
This is the commonality that we all have. Yeah. I can totally relate.
No, and that. You know, I've been doing music a long time. I've also been working in recovery and working with people in group settings, one-on-one. And it's like, my biggest thing is like, you have to find a reason to stay sober. Hold on. Let me say that one more time. You have to find a reason to stay sober. Like, and everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, no shit, Mikey. Like, the reason I'm going to stay sober is that, no, but it's like you have to make a decision.
I get that. You have to make a decision.
And that's where it's like, I mean, I don't want to talk about people, but one of my best friends, man, is like, he spent almost $100,000 last year on pain meds.
Yeah.
And he's got four beautiful kids and a beautiful wife and a house and a business that his father's had his entire life. And I've known them since I came out of the womb. And it's like,
this is the powerlessness. This is what we do.
And it's
not a shocker.
No. And it's like, but it's even like, okay, like, I don't care if you have a problem or not. I don't. That's not my business. My business is whether you're going to live or die. That's the decision you have to make right now. Because if you leave this place and you use, you are going to die. You can't worry.
It's a deadly disease.
It's a deadly disease. And I'm
powerless. There's no limit to.
And we've all had it. We've all had it. Like, if you're in recovery long enough, people die, and it's a real thing. And that's something that's something that I try to stress with. Anybody, no matter what age, it's like, you don't have to die.
You don't have to
die. You do not have to die. And it's looking back, it's like the progression, right? And the progression happens, and you get so stuck in this self-seeking, this selfish will, and Mikey's will, or her will, or its will, or the band's will. Or
selfishness is a big part of addiction.
Yeah.
So you got kicked out of... Or, well, you left the band. What?
Gray area. Yeah, it didn't work. It just
now you're couch surfing.
Couch surfing and just partying. I mean, I'm talking like on boats.
Which is funny because that's what I said. Is it partying?
Dude.
I used to say I was partying. I think I was.
Listen. Let me tell you what partying is. And this is when a friend of mine was like, Mikey, yeah, I think you have a problem. Because couch surfing, I was hanging out with my buddy, and we shared bunk beds. We had a bunk bed, dude. We were freaking partying. You're like living like, no, but it was like, it was a constant state of like, he was a musician. We started writing. He, you know, we shared this room and just hung out and like, and just drank. And then pills started to get involved. And like, you know,
when did Shiny Toy Guns start?
Okay. So I was in Texas for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Went there to get the gig.
Came home and everyone's like, whoa, what happened? Like, who are you? Like, people literally like cried when they saw me. They didn't recognize me, and I was like, I'm good.
How'd you feel deep down? I know that's part of my story too.
Yeah, I was very empty. I was very empty because here's the thing. I knew that I was a good drummer. And I knew that I had potential. And I knew that if I put my mind to do something that I could do it, but not with alcohol. Right. Alcohol was that wall.
But when they're looking at you, they're not going, man, he's such a good drummer. That's going to waste. That's your own agenda. You're right. Saying your friends saw you and it made them sad because you look like hell.
Yeah, friends, family. Yeah. And this is how I'm going to tie this in, because with 14 years sober, I've been in that place. And I'm just going to get real, because I worked very hard for what I have, and I don't have much, but today I have peace and today I have serenity.
And you're sober.
And I'm sober, and I'll have 15 years, but it's like, so I come back and it's this whole thing of like, I got to stop drinking. And I just couldn't. And then finally I called my aunt, who, was Miss Al-Anon. Like,
so did you get sober before Shiny Toy Guns?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you're drinking.
Yeah.
And then pills start, and you're sharing a cot with your buddy, living the high life, I might add.
Super high life.
Super high life. Yeah.
No, and then it, like, it just it.
How'd you hit bottom?
I hit bottom when I just ran out of money, and I was like, okay, what am I doing? Yeah. Like, I'm in Texas chilling, like drinking my life away, and I'm like, I got to get back home. I at least know people there, my family's there. Maybe I can get help.
So you had an idea that you were gonna get help.
I had a great idea. I was gonna stop drinking. So I went home, and I couldn't stop. It was more weed. It was more pills. It was more alcohol. It was up to like a fifth of vodka a day. Just steady. You know.
Now
what I mean?
At that point, where you're going, gosh, I really want to stop, but I can't. Did that start hitting in?
Well, And no joke, like when I was about, honestly, 19 to 20, like that's when I started to have a real physical reaction to alcohol. Is that I mean
physical addiction.
I'm talking like I couldn't function without alcohol.
Yeah,
I was waking up with shakes, couldn't sleep, like all this stuff. So I'd take all these pain meds to try to get to sleep, and then I'd wake up and I'd be in a puddle of
Who knows what?
Yeah, no, right, exactly. But it came to the point where it was like nothing was working.
Yeah.
Nothing. I tried this, I tried that. I'm talking drugs, alcohol, this, her, it, the band, whatever.
So you're broke.
Broke.
And you went home from Texas, Dallas, back. Your friends see you.
My friends see me, and they're just, what happened?
You look like death warmed over.
Yeah. And
you went home thinking, hey, I need to stop, or I need some help.
I knew it got worse. I knew I needed help, and I like probably another 9 months to a year went by.
And how old are you at that point?
20. I was 20 when I came back.
So you got sober pretty young.
I got sober at 21.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
No, and I couldn't. I literally couldn't imagine putting another drug or anything in my body.
What was the thing that actually led to your bottom where you got help and started stopping for the last time?
It was just a countless nights of shameful things that I did or said or ended up.
Where were you staying when you got home?
Wherever I could.
So you're couch surfing back home?
Yeah, I partied a lot at my sister's. She's doing meth. She has her thing. We're screaming about, you're an addict, you're an alcoholic. It's like,
right.
It's like back and forth. It's like, you need help. No, you need help. And I'm like, I'm good. No, I'm good. And it's like,
totally.
It's like, if I could have seen that sober, I'd be like, these guys are, like, that's like, this is better than TV. These mm-hmm. two drug addict alcoholics screaming at each other. Mm-hmm. So I just knew I needed to get sober, and I tried to stop drinking, and still doing music, and I end up meeting a friend of mine who was related to our guitar player, his brother, now my guitar player now from Shiny Toy Guns, and I was just searching. I was like, who can I, like, I don't want to get, like you said, like in the intro, like you don't want to get sober and just be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I know I'm just going to be sober.
Yeah, life
and, like,
sucks, but
yeah,
sober.
It's like, is there music? I mean, obviously I couldn't do music and keep this jump straight if I was loaded. So, like, what happens when you get sober? You just keep it straight.
Well, how'd you get sober? You couldn't stop.
I couldn't
stop.
What'd you do? I made a phone call because I remember my uncle was out of his mind years and years and years ago. And my aunt played a big part in getting him sober. So I was like, let me call my aunt.
She knows.
So I called her up, and like I said, like a second ago, she was like, why are you calling me? What do you want me to do? I can't help you. Like, you need to help yourself. Like full on, just like Al-Anon reverse.
Yeah,
very, very just straightforward. Like, this is not my problem. This is not my, and I continued to drink. And I would call her and I'd be like, yo, I need some help. And she's like, go get help. I can't help you. And then she finally said, I'm not going to help you. Pills, this, that, you know, trying to keep a job, drinking on the job, my boss finding out, like, what, just bullshit. Trying to do music, not being able to play. But so finally I called my aunt. I was like, okay, just tell me, give me one suggestion. Just tell me what to do. Because I didn't know. I didn't know I could pick up the phone and, like, find a meeting. Yeah. I knew nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay.
I knew nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. I knew nothing about, I didn't know there was a program for.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
I didn't know there was anything. I knew that there was a way that my uncle stopped doing meth and flipping his car and doing.
Did he do a 12-step program?
Yeah, he ended up doing that, and then he ended up working in recovery.
So did the aunt? Did aunt?
So the aunt said,
"What's aunt's name? I gotta know."
Sharon.
Aunt Sharon. Did Aunt Sharon?
Aunt
go?
Sharon's like.
She
Aunt
go,
Sharon's
go
like,
to a meeting.
She's a G. Like she's like this Greek gangster. Like so like. Hi, honey. Like just but you don't want to mess with her. So she just gave me a couple numbers, and I'm like. She's like, tell me what you're doing. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, this is what I'm doing. Okay. So I start calling these numbers, and they're like, okay, if you can stay sober for three... Click.
That wasn't what you wanted to hear.
Hello? Yeah, I'm looking for a bed. Click. I just... People kept saying, if you can stay sober for 2 days, if you can stay sober for 3 days, and I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I can't stay sober for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't walk out of my house.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
Yeah. So what the heck did you do?
So I finally got a hold of Scripps McDonald Center, and they're like, if you can get here tomorrow morning,
they're gonna detox you.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I was stoked. I mean, it was like,
that you searched it out. I had phone calls from buddies like, oh, we gotta get my friend in a sober living. I'm like, he just came out of rehab. It's like, dude, make him find a sober living. Right. When I found my rehab, I searched it out on my own. My family did like a mini intervention.
Right.
They're like, you got to get help, and we'll support you. If not, you're on your own.
Well,
and I was like, you guys find me the rehab then, right. If you're intervening on me. And they're like, right. No, you find the rehab. I'm like, oh, good. But that's what we got to do, right? Yeah. We got to go after it. But I love that you search it. So no. Check it out. We're going to play that next song.
Oh, man. Awesome.
What is it?
It's a little aggressive.
Let's do it.
It's a little. No, it's awesome.
What made you pick this song?
I just been listening to the Deftones a lot lately.
I love the Deftones.
I do too. So
stop that quit, all that quit, ruined it, you did, I've got no forgetting.
Deftones will always be one of my favorite bands.
Agreed. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I got to bring us back, though. So here we are.
Okay.
Rock Recovery Radio.
We'll talk about that off air. Okay, I get it.
This is your host, Wes Geer. This is KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM human-crafted radio. Also brought to you by New Vista Behavioral Health. They have amazing treatment programs if you're looking for help or know somebody who is. We're here with Mikey Martin of the Grammy-nominated band Shiny Toy Guns. He's hit bottom. He couldn't stop drinking no matter what. And finally, he found a detox called Scripps in San Diego.
Yeah, Scripps McDonald's Center. So I went down there, and it was the worst thing. I mean, detoxing, I don't remember getting
there. Booze and pills, opiates.
Booze and pills. My aunt ended up coming down, and she came down to where I was staying, and she looked at me, and she's like, let's go. And I'm like, where are we going? She's like, I'm going to go get you a drink. You need to get out of this house. You're sweating. You're shaking. You could die. And I was like, oh, cool. Let's go to the bar, whatever. Yeah. So long story short, I get down there. Don't remember being there. I'm in this detox.
The Scripps.
Scripps McDonald's, and it's this scary thing, and it's like I'm all by myself, and it's like the whole thing, like – like, I sat outside and smoked cigarettes and drank orange juice all day long. Mm-hmm. All day long. And, you know, across this little courtyard was all the people that were outside smoking, laughing, having a good time. And they said, you can't talk to those people. So once again,
you're an outsider.
I'm like, okay, sick. Now I'm trying to get clean and detox and get help, and I can't talk to
them. Who are they?
They were the people that were currently in the program, the inpatient program.
Gotcha.
So I didn't understand that, but it's like being this sick alcoholic, I'm like, oh, there's something wrong with me. And it's like, obviously, drugs are coming out of my system. And I literally was in there for about 7 days, 8 days, and I went to a 30-day program, which I don't recommend for anybody because I believe in long-term.
A little longer. I did 2 months.
Thirty days.
You're barely coming to.
Yeah, and it's like, because for me it was like, okay, why am I doing this? I couldn't function. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. But it was like the main reason I was going to detox and going to treatment was for music, because I was losing my touch. I was losing my feel. I was losing my pocket. Thinking I was somebody I wasn't even close to. So it took me about. And detox for about 8 days, and then I think like I was checked in and I was in a room by myself, and I'm like, oh cool, I'm sicker than others, like, because I don't have a roommate. I was in there for about 2 weeks. I didn't even talk. I couldn't speak. I sat in groups and I cried, and they'd call my name, and I tried to talk, and I couldn't. And somewhere around like 15-16 days, this kid walks in, and I'm like, oh my God, cool. He looked like me. You know, he was my people.
He's a rocker dude.
Yeah, he was, you know, I mean,
come on.
He thought, not even that. I mean, he had a mohawk.
He didn't have brown hair, eyes like
right,
you.
Right.
Like,
no, but I think more than anything, I was like, thank God there's somebody here. And like, that was the best man in my wedding. You know what I mean? Mm.
Is that a guy in Shiny Toy Gun?
No. He's just a guy I got sober with, stayed in touch, really good guy, one of my best friends, and I talked him out of not leaving so many times. And when he came there, something clicked. Mm-hmm. Something clicked, and it's like,
you knew you weren't alone.
Yeah,
the whole program.
Wait, hold on. Let me just tell the listeners real quick the magic of what we do here, and you can do it too. Is like, he knows. He literally just read my mind.
Yeah,
because he's felt like that before, like, and that's the magic and what I love about recovery. And what I promote is I promote life. I promote 100% go out and live your life.
What we're talking about here is you connected one alky to another, and that's the whole premise that the 12-step program was on. Because the cops, you're like, you're a cop. Your parents, you're like, yeah, you're a parent. But when you meet somebody who's like, oh, you're a drunk just like me,
right,
or you're a crackhead just like me.
Yep.
But you found a way out. Then we listen. And that's how the whole 12-step program was founded.
And getting out of that, I mean, I moved. He was like, you got to stay down in San Diego. I was like, no, I got to get to L.A. I was like, I feel clear. I feel like drugs are out of my system.
So what was key for you? You did the detox thing, and then you did a 12-step program?
I did a 12-step program.
What was the key for you staying sober?
The key for me staying sober was not going home, not going to my neighborhood. The key to staying sober was living in a sober living for about 9 months and just getting a sponsor, hitting meetings, starting the steps, and being mindful of my surroundings. When I'm loaded and I'm getting high and I don't care. I want to be by myself. I'm not mindful of anything or how I'm acting or what I'm saying. So being sober, I watch these people that were twice my, I'm 21 years old and I go into the sober living and these guys are shooting dope in the bathroom who are 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
And people drinking right outside my door. And it's like, this could be me, but it's not going to be me. If I drink or I use, I'm dead. That's what happens. Or I end
up, so you use the program to stay sober?
100%. And like, I mean, with less than, with.
Did you start feeling, remember how you said you're always searching? Did you feel like a part of, did you start feeling connection
I definitely found a connection and found people who I'm still friends with today who, you know, some of them aren't sober, some of them are, but it was like I the main thing is I got sober for music, and that's what I did. And with less than a year sober, I don't recommend this for anybody, I went on tour. And I kind of woke up.
Stayed sober.
I stayed sober in other countries, all across the United States, Canada.
Did you stay active with your program?
It was really hard to stay active. I stayed active with sponsors and support and went to meetings when I could. I hate to say that. I didn't go to meetings.
Well, when you're on tour, it's a little tougher. I did the same thing.
Yeah, but it was like it basically got down to I woke up 8 years later. I met my wife. She toured with me. She traveled with me. We did a couple records. We traveled all over the world, other countries, going to meetings in Alaska and meeting. That was the first time I truly believed in AA. I went to a meeting and I said, "Hey, I'm Mikey. I'm from out of town. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm in Alaska. I feel like I could kill somebody and get away with it. 'Cause in Alaska, you've been to Alaska,
but I haven't actually.
So,
but you felt embraced. You felt like your people.
Yeah, these people. You know, I'm not like, "Hey, I'm Mikey from Shining Toy Guns. Come see my band play." Right. But I was like, "Hey, I'm from out of town. I'm going to be here for a few days." Took me to a barbecue afterwards. They're like, "Oh, so what are you doing?" They're like, "Yo, you're in Shining Toy Guns. We're going to come see you play. We're going to come support you." And they like, because I was having a hard time. Because I'm in Alaska. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic.
I love the message here. The message is your whole life you're searching.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop drinking.
Yeah.
And then you do this 12-step program and you find a connection. Even in Alaska, you find your people.
Yeah,
you go from not being able to find your people ever to finding it. You found your wife. And I love, because our stories are similar, I got the Korn gig as a result of being sober. You got to be in a Grammy-nominated band and travel the world and stay sober and have the biggest music success of your life after you got sober. That's just a beautiful story. And I love that you came down here, dude.
Yeah.
And thanks so much. Let's high five.
High five. Watch this.
That's an amazing story. So if you're home, it's not about if you're a musician or not. Maybe it doesn't matter. The story is this. If you're lost and you can't find connection and you can't stop drinking or using or shooting dope or doing meth, there's an answer that will bring you to connection and the best chance at having a beautiful, wonderful, connected life ever. And you're not too sick?
Nope.
Anybody has the ability to recover. So, Mikey Martin of Shiny Toy Guns, thank you so much for driving all the way from Ventura County down here.
Yeah, thank you.
Sharing your experience, strength, and hope of 15 years of recovery. This has been Rock to Recovery Radio. I am your host, Wes Gear, and we are out of here. We do.